Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to PWT Talks NXT. I'm your host. I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or at SpookyMilk.games. We're talking NXT today for May the 10th, 2022. And all ladies, a ladies-only episode, kind of. Six matches, five women's matches, one mixed match. Not an accident, but also in a surprising show of restraint. They didn't pat themselves on the back throughout the night for doing it. That was stunning. I cannot believe they did not mention it ever, that every match had women in it and only one had men in it. That was stunning. Brave new world there. Would have loved to see a night like this during the real heyday of just so much talent in NXT. And there's a couple of different heydays that could be. Pick your favorite in your mind, folks. And that's the one I mean. They did it now instead. Not, the best time to do it, but the second best time to do it is always now, if you didn't do it before when you should have. So that is that's the show we're going to talk about. We're going to talk first about the main event, then we will get to callers. You can call us 515-605-9345. Email us at, I almost said my own email address. I'm not going to do that. Sorry, I get too much junk already. I've unsubscribed to thousands of things, and I'm still subscribed to thousands of things. Like, why did I agree to so many? Oh, God.
Because when you hit the unsubscribe button, that just lets them know that it's a legitimate address.
Yeah, I suppose. But, okay. Email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com, and we'll talk your emails. We've got one email tonight, two callers, unless we've gotten another email by now. Katani's usually a little late. We'll see what happens there. Okay, Natalia versus Cora Jade. We talked about this just a second while we were setting up to be on the show here, and we pretty much were in agreement. This is Cora Jade's best match. This was very, very good. And if you want to give somebody their best match in a young career, bring in the ringer. Yep. Bring in Natty. She is going to have a good match with anyone. You could see on a night when there were several instances of me seeing somebody call a spot in the match, with JC Janes being the most egregious. I saw a couple with Natty, just being forceful with the young talent, making sure it goes as well as it can. And she definitely gave Cora her best match. Telegraphed the ending, which is, it's okay for me if the story is more about, does Cora do so well that she gets the grudging respect of the heel? And if Natty's too much of a heel to give that grudging respect, the people in the crowd have at least gotten that. For me, that story worked very well. They worked Cora's knee all through this match, did Natty. And, of course, that came into it at the end when they did the sharpshooter. And I said to my wife, what they could do here is the KO finish. And sure enough, they went with the KO. She would not tap out, crawled twice, almost made it, wouldn't tap out, passed out instead. And the ref called it for your winner, Natty Neidhart, winningest woman in the history of this company. Bruce Lee, PhD, who are you? And what did you think of the main event?
I am Bruce Lee Hazelwood. I am now one of the rotating reporters for NXT 2.0. Beginning tonight, if you were on the website, you noticed that my report was the only one up. Moving forward, Kelly and I will be alternating our reports. So next week will be Kelly. I will also be off next week anyway. This is my birthday. Be turning 34. So a nice little thing for me there. Like you said, what was that?
Show off. I'm 44.
You know, Well, you know, a decade ain't a big thing.
Hey, 34 brothers, man. 34 brothers.
Oh, my God. Oh, you old man, you. I know.
You wise man, you, Kelly.
Thank
wise
you.
Man.
Pandering. Love it.
So, as you said, Kelly, Cora Jade's best match. It's hard for me to really buy a lot of Cora Jade's offense. Cora Jade's facial expressions and the ring psychology during her matches just does not do well for me, but the match tonight, of course, is good because Natalya was there. I also noted that Natalya gave Tatum Paxley her best match, which isn't saying much because Tatum Paxley hasn't wrestled too much yet, but like you said, when you want to have a good match, when you want the best match out of someone who's so young and so green still, you put in Natty. And so the match worked great. The ending was telegraphed, which was fine, but the sequence of the ending to me is what took away from the match, because you could see Cora talking to the ref about how much time they had left and when to go home, and then she just suddenly passed out. It wasn't even a build-up. She just suddenly passed out, and it was so clunky that part of the match for me was just her selling there was not great, but the match overall was good. The biggest question for me out of this match was, or is, I guess, because Natalya has stated that she wants to win the NXT Women's Championship, which she only fought for once before, and that was the Charlotte Flair 8 years ago now, almost 8 years ago. Kelly and Tom are talking about that on NXT AYB, or approaching that point, I think. And if she does win the title, then she will be like Sasha Banks and Bayley and Charlotte Flair, one of the, I think, only those four women who have won every single women's title that is in the modern WWE. However, how does she get there? Does she face Indy Hartwell next? Does she face Ivy Nile? It just seems like there's not much of a singles, outside of the breakout tournament, there are singles wrestlers aside that she can wrestle to kind of advance herself, unless she goes directly for Rose. Because while there was some interactions tonight, it seems like Mandy Rose doesn't really have a next challenger yet. So I'm wondering if Natalya goes straight from here to Rose, and then she becomes kind of the bridge champion to anchor the women's division as the next people come up. Maybe Cora Jade is the one to take it off Natty. But I think my biggest concern, or not concern, but biggest question out of this match is, what is next for Natty, and what does that mean for the NXT Women's Championship? But overall, good match, a good way to end what turned out to be, I would say, one of the better cards they've had in the past few weeks outside of spring break-in. Just because of, yeah, there was some clunkiness in some matches, but I think the stories were told well. And the show flowed pretty smoothly for me. So all in all, a good show, good ending, or a good main event, I should say.
Nathan, Mary Kate Lindberg, who are you and how did you find the main event?
Oh, you know, I'm Ashley, man. You know, I'm Ashley. If you guys want to have any idea what we're talking about, check out Twitter, because we had a bit of a full house feud. Anyway, I'm Nate Lindberg, and you can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I do the NXT hits and misses, which I do have up on pwtorch.com after missing a few weeks, or at least a couple weeks of getting that up. So that is up and ready for you to check out if you'd like. And I actually only gave out one true hit tonight, and that was to this match. I basically agree 100% with everything you guys were just talking about. Cora Jade, Natty, easily the best match of the night on this card here tonight. It was, a lot of the matches here tonight, a lot of developmental talent. Obviously, we get the breakout tournament going on. There was just kind of a lot of clunky wrestling here tonight, which, I mean, I guess I really can't complain too much about when you're watching the developmental show, but still, you know. Cora and Natty, I think they have, they've got some good chemistry. Natty made Cora look like $1 million. So did Cora, too. I mean, Cora, as far as I'm concerned, I think she's probably the most polished female talent to come out of the 2.0 class, if not one of the most polished. So she's doing a damn good job. I think
Roxanne Perez.
Well, yeah, but she yeah, okay. I guess I could call her out of the 2.0 class. I was kind of thinking of the people that started with 2.0, but still Roxy is certainly up there as well. Yeah, like Bruce was just kind of talking about, you know, Natty did say she wanted to lay claim to the NXT Women's title. I'm wondering if she does even get there. I'm kind of thinking, like, there's part of me that thinks that she's essentially just saying she wants to challenge for the NXT women's title to kind of just build her up a little bit more in the NXT environment, to then, you know, to feud with Cora Jade and just kind of make it feel a little bit more, just so, you know, maybe a tad more important. That's at least my immediate thought. But if Natty does wind up staying down at NXT for a longer period of time than just this particular feud with Cora Jade, then, you know, then yeah, sure. I could certainly see her challenging for the title. I think it would be a cool story to tell, you know, her coming back to challenge for this title 8 years after she challenged for it last. That's kind of a cool story to tell, you know, for a few weeks there. Like you said, who does she necessarily go for next? You know, would it be Indy or, you know, Ivy Nile, like you said? So that is kind of a bit of a question, but I think I lean more like maybe 35% chance of that actually happening. And, you know, the rest of, you know, the other 65%, you're going towards Natty probably being done with her NXT run after this particular feud with Cora Jade. Most of the other main roster, actually all of the other main roster guys that have come down, I think it's just been guys so far. Yeah, I think Natty was the first one that's come down to 2.0. But, you know, everybody else has come down. They've only stuck around for a cup of coffee just for one feud, and, you know, then they went back right up to what they were doing. So I'm kind of thinking they might follow that same path here, that same mold. But regardless, I'm here for it. It's probably the only thing going on in NXT right now I'm actually kind of excited about. I hate to say that, but it kind of is. This was a show. This was a show. But we'll get into all that later. But overall, I think this match, easily best match of the night, and looking forward to seeing where they go from here. That the WrestleMania 13 finish, I like that.
By a wide margin, the longest match of the night, too. 14:11 on a show with 45 minutes and 45 seconds of wrestling. Okay, let us go to our friend Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland. And Ryan, if you have heard the unmuted chime, go ahead and say hey.
Hello.
How you doing, Ryan? How did you find the show?
Oh, it was a very interesting show, being that it was all ladies, pretty much. And my first question is, what do you think the odds are that either Raw or SmackDown would have a all-woman show somewhere too tonight?
Let me start by saying, before tonight, I would have said the chances any of them would do it were zero. So I'm very surprised by this. There's been a number of times where we were like, oh, there was only one women's match and it was only like 2 to 4 minutes long. And that was kind of how the thing started out at the beginning of 2.0. I mean, they had their Dakota Kai's and they had other talents still around for a little bit doing stuff then. But the women were not getting a lot of minutes some weeks. I cannot see the main roster doing this. And the main reason is less that I think that they would be interested in having this kind of that kind of talking point, that kind of week, and more about the fact that you have to build to the next pay-per-view in a month somehow. And in NXT, the stakes are so much lower. I mean, you've got way, way, way too many special weeks of TV on NXT, just way too many. But there's more room because the stakes are so much lower. You're not going to pay-per-view buys or big eyeballs on these PLEs. I just think that they can get away with it in a way that I just think you'd really hamstring the writers. I think they'd be up for the challenge. They could find a way to push all the men's matches with segments. I wonder if they would feel too hamstrung and it would really kind of be tough creatively when there's pay-per-view storylines on the line. Nate?
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. If you asked me even before tonight, you know, even before NXT 2.0 started, if I thought there'd be an all-women's card, essentially, without it being branded like another, was it Evolution? That was the name of the all, yeah, Evolution, without it being branded, like, you know, as such, I would have said, yeah, maybe a 1% chance or something like that. I wasn't expecting it tonight. Even halfway through the night, I said to these guys in our group chat, just like, wow, we're already three matches in. We still have at least one more to go. Of course, we had two more to go at the time. I thought there was only one, but you know, whatever. So there was still, you know, still a few more to go. And I was not expecting it. I don't know if they even have the roster depth now that I think about it to like for, especially for Raw for a 3-hour show. I don't think they have the roster depth to put on an all women's show unless they were to actually put on some relatively longer matches. I'd have to look at the roster, I think, but that would be what would concern me. And I don't know how it would necessarily, and I hate saying it, but I don't know if it would necessarily be a great wrestling show, if you will. If
you could always
do like
12 more Lacey Evans segments. I mean,
yeah, you know, why not?
It's not like they're going too heavy-handed with that already.
No, not at all. But no, yeah. Long story short, I don't think it is likely that they would do an all-women's show on Raw or SmackDown unless they were building to it, they kind of like called it out a few weeks in advance or something, and they had a plan for it. But you know, I think it was Kelly that just, yeah, it was Kelly that just said this, that you know, that obviously there's other storylines going on. You've got, you know, all these other men's storylines going on, and then to just kind of put them on hold for an entire week. I don't know. I feel like that could certainly mess up kind of the cadence of each story that's building to the next. I'm going to still call it a pay-per-view because you know what? I'm defiant, damn it. So you're building the next pay-per-view. So I think it's a pretty slim chance. Will it have, you know, could it happen? Sure. But I think chances are pretty slim.
Defiant and incorrect since you're not paying to view it at this point. So
there you go. I'm paying Peacock, but, you know, not just necessarily for that. So right. Technicalities, man.
Bruce.
So Nate is the one leading all these negative comments for us on the torch, huh? Trying to be contrarian here?
God damn it, you caught me.
I'm joking. Well, you brought up Evolution, kind of stole my thunder, because I'm pretty sure this is the most women's matches on any one card for WWE since Evolution happened in 2018, I believe it was. And it'll caught me by surprise. But with how everything – so it's one of those things where I think with how the last few weeks have developed, it actually made sense for this to happen without all that pomp and circumstance we're used to having, because they had announced the breakout tournament starting this week. The vignettes for Alpha Fire had been going on for weeks. What am I missing? The whole Tiffany Stratton Saray thing has been going on for a couple of months now, and adding in Grayson Waller and Andre Chase kind of added a new dimension to it. And Natalya and Cora Jade, I mean, that goes back to Natalya's first night, about 6 weeks ago now, maybe less. I don't know time anymore. But for me, it just seemed like the night, the card developing the way it did seemed more natural and didn't feel forced like so many times. You know, Hell in a Cell is coming up. They're just got to force things into that, which, okay, there are some feuds that might work right now, like Rousey and Flair, but generally when it comes to these themed events, they just force things in there that don't necessarily need to be there because they have that there. So I'll give them credit for that here, in that it seemed like a natural progression of how NXT 2.0 has been unfolding the past several weeks to a month. So for that, I will give them credit. But as we were saying earlier, not all the women that appear tonight should be on television. It is developmental, yes, but it's not developmental on the WWE network anymore. It's developmental on a nationally broadcast channel with more viewers that some of these wrestlers, while I'm hoping the best for them, just aren't ready yet to be displayed in this sort of magnitude. So in that regard, kudos, but also maybe temper it back a little bit in terms of who you're deciding to put on TV. And so while you all were talking, I was thinking, kind of going back to who Natalya faces next, is Io Shirai still part of NXT?
That's a damn fine question. I don't know.
By next Tuesday, probably not at the rate that they release people.
Let me say something weird. I collect sports cards and wrestling cards, and one of the sets that came out a handful of months ago, it has everybody's listed on their on the roster they're on. Like, they have the denotation of NXT, Raw, SmackDown, and Io Shirai's were SmackDown. Like a few months ago. So they thought she was going to be on that show as a regular by the time those cards came out. Obviously that didn't happen, but that's what was done.
Well, if she stays on NXT, I could see her interrupting or coming out during Natalya's promo next Tuesday if she's still there, and then they have a feud, and maybe that's what ends Natalya's running NXT. But she just hasn't been on WWE TV in a while now, so I'm wondering what her status is. But yeah, just so sorry about that, Ryan, but to your question, it was a natural progression, I believe. Just some of the people shouldn't have been on tonight.
Ryan, go ahead.
My second question is on Toxic Attraction. Seem to be a pretty dominant team holding these belts. So do you think Sasha Banks and Naomi could be the ones that possibly dethrone them, possibly in a title against title match, much like the Usos against RK-Bro?
You know, I had not given that any thought. I will now. I don't. First instinct is to say I don't think so. But they've also, like, I don't see that team that's going to beat them. We're going to get an email here that says, I think they're building toward Roxy and Wendy Chu winning the belts. And I definitely don't. I think that was a one and done, and I think that this is just putting more heat on Chu Rose. And then we'll get more of Roxy doing her thing in the tournament, because she's going to win at least one match and maybe more. I would say I think more, maybe even two more. But I digress. That's, you know, wishful thinking, folks. It's a thing. I'll say that I don't think it will be Sasha and Naomi, but I, not being able to see who that team is, it's an intriguing idea, Bruce.
So the whole thing with Sasha and Naomi right now is that they're the women's tag team champion on Raw and SmackDown. And if they come down and they lose Toxic Attraction, then what are you saying about the people that are holding those in the non-developmental show? And then if they come down and beat Toxic Attraction, well, they're supposed to. So I don't know if that's going to be the team that actually comes out and defeats them. I thought that they were setting up Chu and Roxanne Perez to defeat them, but I didn't expect the match to be happening so soon with the breakout tournament happening right with it. So when that was announced, along with the breakout tournament happening at the same time, it only made sense for Perez to lose because of her being in the breakout tournament. I thing is, like, there's no other tag teams in NXT right now, unless you go back to Alba Fire and Io Shirai or something. But maybe Natalya and Shayna Baszler, if they lose on Friday, Natalya can come back with her partner, who was the dominant NXT Women's Champion. And
I like that
for
idea.
for not winning the Women's Tag Team Champion, Women's Tag Team Championship on Raw SmackDown, they come down and then be like, and say, you know, we're going to dominate here. They take it off, and then you have two bona fide legitimate wrestlers who can carry that tag team division while 2.0 kind of restocks what their tag team division was after, or restocked their tag team division after all the releases. That, I think, is more realistic, but I honestly just don't know. I was hoping Toxic Attraction would have lost the titles by now, but because when I watch their matches, I'm not seeing much improvement from either of them. And at this point, they should be getting much better than they have been. So for me, if I had to pick, I'd say Natalya and Baszler, but that would require them to lose on Friday, which, I mean, they're going to lose on Friday. But then how they turn that into them coming down and being okay with taking these titles, they could definitely work that angle with them being smarmy, arrogant heels. But I think that's more likely than Naomi and Sasha Banks.
I would also suggest there is a third option here, which is, well, I don't know how many options we've laid out. There's a 27th option here where maybe Toxic Attraction gets called up and then they just kind of pretend these titles never existed. It did not seem almost ever like it was a very important thing for this company to push these tag team championships. And they got Kacy and Kayden, and they didn't even really make a big deal of them even being there to be a big challenger. They have not made use of that roster as far as these championships are concerned. So I could see these championships just kind of going away.
Do you think they would unify them?
They could do unification, and they could go up and be like your surprise beat, I'll say Sasha and Naomi, but however long it takes them to go up, and be like the Paige day one thing. I don't know, but they could unify rather than actually
disappear.
Just have them disappear and have everybody just not talk about them and say, you never had a tag team championships, Billy. You never had one. it's always Billy. I don't know why I used that.
It's Dante Chen.
Yes, it's you never had them, Dante Chen.
The way that you just said Billy reminded me of that promo The Rock did against Billy Gunn way back in the day. If anybody remembers what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Vaguely, yes. Go ahead, Nate.
All right. So, yeah, as far as unifying the titles, I guess I could see it happening, but I don't know. At the same time, I kind of feel like they wouldn't unify a title from an undercard show with a main title. It could happen. Stranger things have happened, but there's just, I don't know, something in the back, it's just something about taking an NXT title and unifying it with a main roster title without NXT actually going away. It just seems weird to me. Like I said, it could happen, but I don't personally see it happening unless unless it was Toxic Attraction going up, facing the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions and winning it and then unifying it that way. Because I guess that would kind of make sense. It'd be a good way to retire the titles and have Toxic Attraction debut on the main roster and look extremely strong. So there's certainly that. The only other team that I did think of, when you guys were talking was Katana Chance and Kayden Carter. God, that is such a stupid name. Kacy Catanzaro and Kayden Carter. But, you know, they've kind of already been there, done that, and they couldn't win the titles at the time. The other thing that I'm kind of wondering is, you know, you had the feud between, you know, kind of a little feud between Lash Legend and Nikita Lyons. I wonder if they might.
No.
I know I don't even want to put it out into the ether, believe me, but that's what we're here to do is to speculate and analyze and stuff. So I'm wondering if, you know, maybe the breakout tournament, because I mean, Lash Legend and Nikita Lyons are on far opposite corners of that bracket. I'm wondering if, you know, maybe potentially we see them in the finals of the breakout tournament together, find some mutual respect, form a tag team, and win the titles. I don't want to see that. There is no part of my being that wants to see that, but that is an option. That is an option.
At this point, I'll mention that I can mute callers, but I cannot mute Nate. So that's why that didn't happen while he was putting that out there for people to hear. Oh, boy. You should. Ryan, go ahead.
Question on Jensen and Briggs. Can you see them breaking up? Because Briggs seems to be doing a lot better with getting Henley, you know, like he got the big hug, you know, from her. I think it's Jensen that has like the crush on her. You think he's going to get a little bit jealous about that eventually?
To be fair, Jensen has a crush on every woman he comes across.
That's true. I I guess I hadn't seen it early. At this point, it's so early in their development. You can try a few things. You can leave a few breadcrumbs in case you want to do that story. And if you don't, you don't. And if you do, you do. Will they find their lanes as a tag team, or will they find their lanes as singles wrestlers? I think that's what's more important. For me, that answer right now is I absolutely think that this can be a valuable tag team, but I see extremely limited value in either of these guys as singles acts. And that could change. But right now, I don't see it. Like Jensen, they've given him all these scenes. He's gotten so much acting work that he has not shown that he should get. But he's gotten it. And I just think that exposing him further by making him a singles act is not a great idea, because Briggs' stuff is better because it's more restrained. Like he can do the funny thing without that wink, wink, haha, I'm being funny thing that that Jensen, I don't think, knows how to turn off, because I don't think he knows that he has it turned on. I just think he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And that's fine. Like, I'm not mad at him for it. He's just getting these spots that are not probably great for him, and they're certainly not great for us. But anyway, I don't think they'll split, but that has less to do with my read on what's going on with the characters and more to do with I genuinely see these guys being an okay main roster, mid-card act as a tag team for a while, Nate.
That's really all I see out of these two. I can't see either one of them as a singles act, or I mean, even if they were, you know, if they were to somehow break off and become a singles act, at least at this stage of the game, I don't see that it factor out of either one of them that would make them a successful singles, whether it be, you know, main event tier singles, or even, you know, complete undercard singles. It's just not there for me. I mean, it again, like, you know, like I said last time, stranger things have happened, but yeah, I really don't see that happening for that particular team. I mean, they've started to win me over a little bit as a team. You know, mostly because of that stupid haha, you know, stuff that I can never remember which one's which, but the one that I think it's Jensen that's you know, trying to get with all the ladies. Yep. And it's some of the humor, it's so stupid, it's kind of funny. So they are starting to win me over there. I think they do make a good team, but I don't necessarily see them ever really making it a singles, at least as it stands right now.
Jensen's humor winning over Nate. I'll remind you again, folks, I have no way of muting him. Just
you know, technically you do, but I'm not going to tell you how.
I knew there would be a way, and you, oh, this is like a villain story. You have the answer. You can't. Okay.
Wah, the evil system administrator strikes back.
You have all the answers. I changed the question.
Just wait, Kelly. I'm going to kick you out of the show before the night's over.
All right. Rowdy, PhD. Go ahead.
So we also can't forget that Jensen has the nepotism factor working in his favor, no matter how bad he is on the mic and emoting and stuff. Also, Briggs was a successful singles wrestler before he came to NXT. So I guess he has some potential there. I don't know about a breakup. I honestly wasn't paying as much attention as Ryan was to the interactions between Henley and them. I just feel like I don't know if Jensen has a crush on Henley, or that Henley's kind of like their sister, that they look at her as a sister and she just kind of goes along with what they do. Definitely can see them as a mid-card team. I don't even know if they'll reach the heights of the Viking Raiders on the main roster, because the Viking Raiders were tag team champion before. I don't know if Briggs and Jensen have that or can be that. But to what Kelly was saying about Briggs, his reactions and facial expressions and exasperations, they come off more naturally than when Jensen is trying to do his mopey and puppy dog awestruck stuff with the women. So I think he comes off a little better. He also, in the ring physically, is a bit better than Jensen. A little more imposing because of his size as well. I just don't know about a breakup. I think really they're, at this point, I think the person that has the most potential because of the lack of depth is Fallon Henley. And I don't know if I want to, that's not something that I'm necessarily proud to say, but she did look better tonight than she had in the past. I don't see what, you know, Jensen's out for 8 weeks, they said, because of the broken hand, or the kayfabe broken hand that he suffered from Von Wagner. He has so little charisma, I forgot what his name was for a second there. And I think in that time, depending on how Henley does in the breakout tournament, we could see much more character development of these three individually and as a group. And again, there was still that thing with Sophia Cromwell. So once Jensen comes back, does this mean they're going to have a six-person tag? Does this mean that Henley goes straight after Cromwell? Does it mean Jensen goes after Wagner? I think there's a lot there that makes a breakup, at least in the near future, unlikely.
For anyone who didn't furiously Google but was curious after that nepotism line by Bruce, Brooks Jensen is the real-life son of Bull Buchanan. So I don't know how much nepotism could play in because I don't know how much stroke he's got. But he is he got a WrestleMania win. He won a WrestleMania opening match. Yeah, it was WrestleMania 2000, which was a disaster. But he won.
He won? Exactly.
2000.
He wasn't in a singles match, though.
Might have been. No. A tag match where he, in Right to Censor, I think with the Goodfather, beat a team that you would have heavily favored, especially at WrestleMania. And you'll have to tell me who that is. Like,
I'm looking it up right now. Big Boss Man and Bill Buchanan defeated the Godfather and D'Lo Brown.
Oh, Godfather had not switched yet. Godfather and D'Lo had to job to. I got a lot of love for Big Boss Man, so I shan't say a bad word against him. But what the hell is that booking decision?
One of the most underrated big men ever.
I mean, and the yep. Godfather and D'Lo Brown had iced tea in their corner, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. I would not have remembered that. I have not seen that.
I wouldn't have either. If it wasn't on Wikipedia.
Is it WrestleMania 2000 or is it a little later?
2000.
Okay.
The Wyatt B. Pan 2000.
Yes, I haven't forgotten everything. The show that only had one singles match, and it was the Cat versus Goldust's wife, Terry. Okay, so let's get that out of our heads. Ryan, if you've got one more, go ahead.
Final questions on Santos Escobar. I know it's positive he dropped the F-bomb tonight, and Tony D'Angelo, tried to say it, but he didn't say it. So how did they get away with that? Because I thought, you know, they were pretty strict, on blood and, you know, all this other stuff, and that just seemed a little odd to me.
They bleeped it.
They did a kind of distortion. It wasn't the usual bleep. They did a kind of distortion where it seemed like they really, really, really wanted to say it. So they got as close as they could while not stepping over the line. We caught the end of the word. We knew where he was going, when he started the word. And we mostly saw him mouth it. We got a distortion, but it wasn't that much of a distortion. All I could think was hey, he's stealing Andre Chase's gimmick. That's a saying. He's a swearing guy.
That's great.
So yes, good old Santos adds to the swear jar that is ever growing in NXT. I was a little surprised they went as far and showed and did as much sound of it as they did. I thought it was uncharacteristically over the line for them. They didn't mess around. It doesn't bother me. Swearing has never bothered me and won't. And I think it's weird that it bothers anybody. I really do. But that said, it does. And I was surprised that they went there, even though they didn't totally go there, Bruce.
So I'll use what I used to tell my students in my undergrad classes when I tell them, you can cuss in your writing, you can cuss in class. But there's a difference between saying, oh, that's an effed up situation, or that's pretty City and saying, oh, F you and you're a piece of, you know. So I think in that regard, cussing is fine to me, like if it's more of a like adjective than it is an actual direct attack. I understand people who get upset about that, but there are more things to be mad about than just simple cussing. They also couldn't bleep out the crowd chanting shut the F up to Gacy tonight. So all around, you heard a lot of F-bombs. And then also, regarding this angle, when are they going to get extra security in that damn parking lot?
Yeah, and they, you know, both our emails talked about, is it the most dangerous place in wrestling now? And I'm like, now?
It's been that way.
It's like, literally since the beginning of Black and Gold era, they have been using the parking lot as a dangerous spot. Like, it was already kind of a running joke when the thing happened with Hideo Itami. Mm-hmm. And that was a long time ago.
Wow, yeah, that was.
Well, then they had the Colin Ciampa in the parking lot? So there was a match in the parking lot, too, with all the cars around it. Who was it?
I think it was Gargano
and Cole. But I want to say Kyle had a match out there, too. There was one of the matches had a drone in it. Which one had the drone
That was
over it?
I'm pretty sure that was Cole. It was Cole and Gargano, if memory serves.
That was just more of Gargano and Cole? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been the other one, too, but I vividly remember one particular drone shot from that.
Yep.
This parking lot why did people even go in the parking lot? And then, so the one time the parking lot didn't have anything dastardly happen today was when Hayes and Williams pulled up in that sweet, sweet Bentley of theirs. And Solo Sikoa said, not tonight, boys, and I noted that Trick Williams has the best line of the night. Who's he calling boy? Because you don't say that to black men.
Nate, go ahead.
Undertones.
Yep.
All right. So I don't even remember what the question was. I remember we were talking about cussing, but what was the original question we were talking about at this point?
It was about the
All right. Now it's all coming back to me now. As far as like how they got away with it, like I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know. You know, exactly what, like, you know, FCC guidelines and all that stuff are for, you know, cable television. But
past 10 p.m., you're okay.
What's that?
Past 10 p.m., you can cuss.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. I know that you're a little bit more lenient with some of the stuff after 10. But that's actually about all I know. So I'm wondering, you know, if they're able to bleep out and you know, like they did tonight and blur, blur the mouth or whatever, they're able to do it and, you know, whatnot. Yeah, obviously, they're not going to want to piss off USA Network and you know, NBC. So I don't think they're going to necessarily do something that they're going to have to, you know, ask forgiveness for later on. So I'm sure they probably did it in a way where, you know, it was okay with USA and NBC Universal. As far as like, you know, like cussing and stuff goes on a wrestling show, I feel like it goes hand in hand, to be honest. I mean, it's one thing, you know, like something like this, you know, NXT, I guess NXT 2.0 isn't really necessarily branded for kids, but it kind of is at the same time, you know, where they want to be a little bit edgier and sexier and things like that. But I mean, there's cussing is an art form. It really can be, you know, I mean, and if you like, you know, like Bruce was talking about, you know, there's a difference between saying, oh, that's an effed up situation. And then, you know, something like tonight where Escobar is like, yeah, hey, F you, totally different. So in pro wrestling, there's definitely a place for cussing, especially for heels. It's going to get you the heat, especially if you're in a very, you know, if you're like, you know, down south, you're in a conservative territory or something like that. It is going to get you heat. So I think it definitely has a place in wrestling.
AEW cusses all the time, after all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, but on a show like this on NXT where, you know, I keep saying it's kind of geared towards kids, but obviously that's not the demo watching it, but that's kind of the demo that they want watching it. You know, I do think they should probably steer away from it as much as they have been. They've kind of going through it a lot lately. You know, I think it was effective in this tonight. Like, I popped. I really did when you know, we saw Escobar say that. I thought it was a great line. It was well placed. So I liked it. I dug it. But I know not everybody will. So, you know, is what it is there. But yeah, I think I'm going to stop rambling now. So, yeah.
It helps when it's pre-recorded.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You think AEW swears a lot? Check out New Japan. It is constant and done in many languages. Nate says they don't want to piss off USA. But I mean, if the ratings are any indication, nobody at USA is watching this show. Like, just nobody. They're not going to see it.
Or they're already pissed.
Yeah. What are you going to do that's going to piss them off more? They're going to say, hey, thanks for dropping that F-bomb. Like, people were talking for the first time in a while.
Well, no, to that point, though, if they're, you know, and we don't have any indication that this is the case, this is just pure speculation, but, you know, thinking from just kind of a business perspective, if you were on thin ice with the people that put you on TV, put not only this particular show on TV, but also puts your flagship Raw on TV as well. If you think you're already on thin ice, I wouldn't take the risk of pissing them off even more by doing something like this, taking that risk. You know, that's my two cents.
Let's go to Baltimore, where Reverend Keith has patiently waited for us. Keith, say hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing pretty Reverend. Good. How are you?
Doing well.
Good, good. I just want to say, in that storyline with Escobar and Tony D, I think they are going toward the flair for the dramatic. I think that's why it went to the F-bomb tonight. Only because they're trying to make it seem like a Chicago mafia guy versus a Mexican aristocrat. Only time will tell whether or not it will be heavily scrutinized. Right now, just what, an hour and 17 minutes after its conclusion, we don't know. But we will soon see. I mean, they took a big chance tonight, but I see where they're going with that flair for the dramatic. And like Doc Bruce and I were tweeting on Twitter, it's amazing how much chaos has occurred in that parking lot, man. Where's the security?
Well, security was probably kidnapped and buried long, long ago, unfortunately.
We need to send Tom down there to do security.
Yeah.
Should he take
it? Yeah, get Tom some independent wrestlers, get them in some black T-shirts, and let them stand there and get tossed around. See how far that goes, right, Tom? Well, I know Tom's no longer on the show, but I'm just saying, Kelly, that would be interesting, huh?
I would love it. I would just love to see a bunch of scenes of Tom, like, technically on the show, but he's hiding halfway behind stuff all the time.
At the first
sign of danger, he's like, nope. It's the only thing he ever says, and he runs away.
So you want Tom to be Grayson Waller?
Yeah. Right. Or the cameraman on Scream 2, because you know what happened to the cameraman on Scream. There you go. And he survived the movie.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Now, the only point I wanted to discuss is something that, of course, Ryan already brought up, but I want to bring up a new dimension to it. When you were talking about the women's tag team scene in NXT, and you were talking about the future of one Natalya, I truly think that Natalya and Shayna Baszler could walk away from SmackDown with the tag team titles, and I'm not so sure if we'll see that much more of Natalya in NXT. Now, the reason why I say that is because Ronda needs someone to challenge her. They're moving Lacey over to Raw, and I would like to see Sasha Banks be the next challenger, even though it would be two baby faces. You know, I think that would be
Ronda's
Sasha's
a baby face?
Huh?
Ronda's a baby face?
What was that? Who did you say is a baby face?
Bruce,
saying,
he's, yeah, Ronda's
saying
just,
Rousey,
you know.
Is a baby face?
Right now she is.
Okay.
But anyway, let me get back to, I'm going to let you guys talk about this in a second. Here's what I think is going to happen, and I may be wrong because it could go either way. Shayna Shayna and them could lose. Shayna and Natalya could lose. Natalya could stay in NXT, and Shayna could challenge Ronda. But I'm thinking it'll be Ronda and Sasha. But in order for that to happen, Sasha and Naomi would have to lose to Natalya and Shayna. But getting back to where I'm going with this is that I'm thinking that in NXT, the next challenges to JC Jane and Gigi would be Katana Chance and Casey Caden, because they really have gotten better over the past year. And I know one of you guys mentioned during Ryan's discussion that they've been overlooked. Yes, they have, truly. But if you notice the matching gear, new theme music, the last time they wrestled, they really looked sharp. So I could see them challenging next for the tag team titles and Natalya staying on the main roster. That's just my overall inclination of what's going on right now. But also in closing, I like the fact that they dedicated this night to the women. The women were featured in five matches, and it was good to see that. And hopefully Tony Khan will take more notice in AEW and showcase his women more, and so will Vince and Kevin Dunn on the main roster. Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great week.
Thanks, as always, Rev. Tony Khan used to have the out of saying that the talent there has to get better, has to develop in order to be featured. Now they got talent coming out their ears, and you can feature it. On the Natalya thing, I will say that I would not be surprised if she was completely done in NXT for this run. Like, she had a pretty sizable run, almost 8 years to the day, which we are talking about right now as part of the tournament to crown the second NXT Women's Champion. And Natty went down there for that tournament, and Tom and I will be covering her match with Charlotte for the championship not too long from now. So there's that. But I think that her story in NXT might be over. I would love to see it be Caden and Katana. That's going to take some time to get used to. I genuinely forgot earlier when I said Caden and Casey. I don't remember if that was before we started or after, but I genuinely had forgotten. Caden and Katana. Okay. And I hope that it could be them. I think you're completely on. Katana's shown a decent amount of improvement, and Caden has gone from like role player to, for me, a real highlight on the show. I really, really like what she does in the ring. So yes, I could dig seeing them in that role if they are to keep featuring those championships, because those championships are high profile right now because of the three woman power trip. It always works when a faction's holding all the belts they can hold. It's always worth noting. But I just don't, I shudder to think what will become of them. Like, if they move them to Caden and Katana, what's next? Like, did they just flounder and not even get featured with them, Bruce?
So, they have improved. I've always been high on Caden Carter, Lacey Lane, since she debuted, even though she was really just a Scorpion cosplay at that point. But their last match, I was more intrigued by Ulyssa Leon and Valentina Feroz than I was those two. So I don't know how much that speaks to their potential as being the tag team champion. And as you said, they seem like one of those teams that's really good in the hunt. And I'm just not sure what they do once they get the titles, if they ever get the title kind of thing. In regard to, Natalya, there we go. So the reason why I think she's not done is because that promo she gave 1 or 2 weeks ago about wanting to win the NXT Women's Championship would have just been for nothing at all if she leaves right now, unless they come back to it if she comes back, if she does eventually return to NXT in the future. So there's also an easy way for her to take that promo and then morph it into taking the tag team titles should she and Shayna Baszler lose on Friday, and then go after Toxic Attraction. But I think judging or basing Natalya's run off of, you know, Dolph Ziggler's 6 weeks or so, and how that ended, I think might be a bit of a disservice, because there are far more men on the roster in NXT 2.0 who are ready to be on TV, or at least passable on TV, than there are in the women's division. And I think having Natalya there, where she's really only wrestled Tatum Paxley and Cora Jade, and then Nikita Lyons in a tag match with Lash Legend, I'm not sure if that's making the full use of what you could do with Natalya while she's down there. So I wouldn't be surprised, while you two are saying you won't be surprised she's done, I wouldn't be surprised if she's there for a little longer. They have so many themed episodes now that you can easily have her in one of these more high-profile matches on those theme shows, whether it's for a tag team title or maybe a number one contendership or even an NXT women's title. So, and to Reverend Keith's point, the women were actually featured in all six matches tonight, just one of them was a mixed tag match. So while they were singularly in all five matches, they also had a part in the sixth match as well. And we'll get to that later. But for me, I think you need to have Natalya stay a little longer. Making Jade or putting over Jade while having Jade lose still is good, but just one person out of the people on the roster that she could really help. Tatum Paxley, you could say she helped put it over, but I don't know how many people remember that match. I think there's more equity you can take from Natalya before she goes back full time.
I'm going to throw to Nate. I'm also going to take a second here because I don't know how this happened, but I ripped open the bridge of my pinky finger on my right hand. My hand has not done anything. Like, I'm just standing here existing. Guys, I'm 44. So,
wow. That's what I have, like, to look forward to a decade.
You expect trick knees. I mean, that happens. You don't expect to spontaneously get a cut from nothing. Nate.
Is that Trick Williams' new name next week, Trick Knees?
You know what? I was thinking that, and I'm like, if I wasn't about to go take care of this bloody stump, I would work on that.
All right,
go
you
ahead
know what?
And take it, and then also cover that opening match, and I'll be back in a couple minutes.
All right, you go take care of the blood and stuff, and we'll be here. Okay, like what Bruce was just saying with Natty, I don't think her story is necessarily done like this week because of that embrace that Cora Jade and Natty had in the ring afterwards, after the match. I feel like there's some other thread there that's going to get pulled, right? Because
do they win the tag team titles together?
That actually is exactly where I was just going. Like that my mind just kind of crossed that.
Yeah, as soon as you said it.
Yeah. You know, so like I was talking about earlier in the night with Lash Legend and Nikita Lyons potentially being, you know, facing one another, you know, in the breakout tournament, finding respect and then challenging for the titles. Maybe it's Natty and Cora. You know, so that could be it. I feel like that embrace meant something, especially after just how mean, I guess, for lack of a better term, Natty has been to Cora over the past few weeks. So I feel like there's something there. It wouldn't be unlike WWE to just, you know, take something like that with that you could pull another thread out of and then just, that's it and we're done. But there could be something there to that. So I know there was more to that question than I answered, but that's okay. Cause you know, you guys covered it. So he wanted us to go into the first match of the night. That was Toxic Attraction versus Wendy Chu and Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship. I guess I'll start. It was a lukewarm hit is what I gave it in the hits and misses this week. It wasn't a five-star classic by any stretch of the imagination, but it also wasn't a terrible tag team match as far as I'm concerned. Granted, if you were to take this match and put it in, you know, black and gold NXT, yeah, it was probably a pretty terrible tag team match. The Wendy Chu and Roxanne Perez, they make a kind of a strange tag team. I guess anybody you pair with Wendy Chu is going to be a strange tag team. You know, I as I've said a thousand times before in the show, you know, I like Karen Q. I like the performer. I think she's doing a great job at portraying Wendy Chu. I can't stand the gimmick at all. And the fact that she's kind of getting a bit of a push, especially competing, you know, here for the NXT Women's Tag Championship. And, you know, it seems like she might even potentially be in a program with Mandy Rose at some point. I'm flabbergasted that this character is actually, it's like Dr. Isaac Yankum going for the WWE Championship is kind of in my mind how I think of this. So, you know, is what it is there. I think it was, so clearly I think it was the right move to keep the belts around Toxic Attraction's waist tonight. They've been very strong champions with the exception of that one brief, like three, four, five days, however long it was that they lost the titles, earlier, maybe 2 months ago or whatever. But for the most part, they've been booked very strongly. I think it was the right move. I can't think of anything else that I wanted to mention in this matchup off the top of my head. So, Bruce, we'll go over to you.
So my biggest takeaway, and I wrote it in my report, is that it probably doesn't say much good about the tag team champion when the challengers were definitely a level above them in terms of the in-ring product, in terms of how they wrestled this match.
Big time. Big time.
The clunkiest part came from Dolan and Jane. And again, at this point, they should be better, especially because they have been in such prominent positions in matches. You could see, as Kelly said earlier, the spots being called, while, you know, it's wrestling, you're going to see that, it was just so blatant in some of these instances here that I think there's more damage now being done to the titles because of the lack of improvement from Dolan and Jane than the benefit of having them associated with Mandy Rose, who also has not been having the best matches of late. So the other thing too, Nate, has Wendy Chu ever mentioned that she wanted to look like Mandy Rose?
Not that I recall. Not that I recall.
So why did Mandy Rose stand over her and say, "You'll never look like me," as if that was some kind of insult, like she doesn't care about looking like you?
I never mentioned
that before.
I took that as like Mean Girls, like you're going to the movie Mean Girls and her just trying to just be a bitch to be a bitch. I didn't necessarily take that as like Wendy Chu necessarily wanting to look like that.
Well, sure. But for me, there's no contextual basis for that in terms of Chu's feud or her problems with Toxic Attraction. It's mostly that Toxic Attraction has just been a thorn in her side. And not so much that, oh my gosh, they look so good and I want to be like them. And it leads to what Mandy Rose and they did to Indy Hartwell. So I guess in the Mean Girl sense, they did the exact same thing to Indy Hartwell. Like, Indy, I have no idea what it feels like to be you right now. And it's like, no, I'm serious. I've never had a man leave me like that before. And they just kind of laugh at her. And so for me, I wouldn't be surprised if Indy Hartwell faces Mandy Rose in a non-title match next week because of this. But I just feel like the presentation, the act, the wrestling has regressed for these three. And I just think it's doing more harm than good. And again, when you have people in there like a Roxy, like a Karen Q, who can actually go understand ring psychology, know how to use the positives of their acts and what they can do well without trying to do things they can't do as much, it's just a dichotomy in the presentation that, for me, I understand why they didn't win the title tonight because of the breakout tournament, but I would have been just fine if they had won the title tonight I hope, as Kelly says, they get moved up because I think they will do much better in terms of how Raw and SmackDown presents and has their women, especially in teams and stables, kind of wrestle each other than they do on 2.0.
When this trio started, I said that what good's it going to do for Gigi and JC to sit under the learning tree of Mandy Rose? And I stand by that. Like feel like those two, I don't think have regressed. They have stagnated. They've hit a point where they're not getting better anymore.
I would agree with
that. I don't think they're regressing. Mandy is confounding. She gets, sure. The act. Sure.
Yeah.
And Mandy is so up and down. You really don't know which version of her you're going to get. For me, and maybe you said this while I was, who in this house decided that Band-Aids should be the hardest thing to find? Was that
probably
me?
You. It's probably you. Yeah, it's probably
possibly
you.
Me. I mean, it's first aid. First. It's in the title. You should know where it is. Okay, so I done confounded myself.
Oh, man. That hit me funnier than it should have probably.
No, it should have. That's what I was going for. Okay, so my bigger issue with Mandy tonight, and maybe you said this, was when she got in Wendy Chu's face after the beatdown.
Yeah, we just were talking about that.
Oh, gosh. And she said, and I'm like, no, you're not mad about that. You're mad about all that stuff she did to you. You know, the crime.
And she's not even mad about that.
Right. You're supposed to be angry about the crime. All that crime she committed to you. And that's not what
legitimate she said. Crimes.
Yeah, she said the pretty thing. And I'm like, no, you can do better in this instance. I promise.
I was actually about to say this when you chimed back in, Kelly. So the way that I have been looking at NXT 2.0 for the past, few months now, is I've been basically pretending that this is a high school, but instead of going to class, you go to the ring. And I feel like that was easily just the best thing a high school mean girl bully could come up with.
Okay, let's go to the breakout tournament. Fallon Henley defeats Sloane Jacobs in 4:28 with a running either boot or knee.
Shining Wizard, I thought it was.
Was it a Shining Wizard?
Shining Wizard, yeah.
Yeah.
But was it the shiniest? Because
no,
that would be that.
Let me just say, I put in my report, I cannot take the Shining Wizard as a finisher because nobody hits it well in WWE. Nobody.
Yeah. Tegan certainly didn't, and hers was called the Shiniest Wizard.
No, oh my gosh.
Nikita Lyons defeated Ariana Grace in 3:09 after Ariana gave a really wooden performance and it just badly delivered a line about and beauty contests, obviously.
Oh, God.
You know, that would have worked if she was like, and beauty contests, obviously. And she'd, you know, with that, the way it should be. But she was not committed to it.
She needed to channel a little Tiffany Stratton there.
It took me a second, and I was like, oh, she's supposed to be a heel, that poor thing. And then she got in there with Nikita Lyons, and that match certainly happened. That one ended at 3:09 with what I wrote down as stupid split thingy. doesn't look like it does anything. It's one of those moves that doesn't look like it hurts, but if she lands poorly, it will and still won't look like it. So it's like it's a double whammy. It's not a good finisher. Like for a couple of weeks, it was out of her matches altogether, and now it's back and it finishes somebody. It's a weak finish.
Not just that. She got rid of her cyclone kick this week for a spin kick. And then the thing I hate about her split leg drop the most is she just has to walk all the way over to the left side instead of hitting it right after she hits the spin kick because she likes the angle from that side.
So we will in, I would say, probably 2 weeks, see Fallon Henley versus Nikita Lyons. A guaranteed banger. It's gonna main event. I think all three shows that week. That'll be exciting.
Match of the year contender right there.
It's you know, folks. I don't know what to say. I hope somebody breaks out of this tournament.
Besides Roxy,
but it hasn't happened yet. And Roxy has to break out in terms of. There are times where she's a little slower in the ring. There are times when her footwork is a little weird, but she's a natural in so many ways that, and she's so young that at this point I'm like, doesn't matter. The good is so good right now. My feeling on the first match was it's possible she was the least polished looking in the match, in that single match, but by far even in that match, she showed the most potential of any of the four. Because I think Wendy's probably the best. I think she's probably inarguably the best wrestler of those four right now, in terms of in-ring stuff. But whatever, I don't want to go backwards on the podcast. So anything on the breakout tournament thus far? These matches are like exactly in the time range that I thought they were going to be.
Yep.
Hopefully we get a main event that's longer, but if we get the main event,
if it's Lions and Legends in the finals again, another Lions match. Oof.
I'll want it to be under 2 minutes. I don't care. Just like that.
I might just shut the TV off.
Yeah. Break me out of this tournament. Yeah. Okay. Nate, on either match.
So I'll start with Sloane Jacobs versus Fallon Henley. So this match was, this match also happened. Fallon Henley is definitely somebody, you know, we've talked about it here, and I know Tom has talked about her quite a bit on Breaking, his podcast. I always call it Breaking Point, bonus point. Fallon Henley is definitely somebody I'm keeping my eye on as well. I think she's got some potential. She's definitely seemed to come into her own, charisma-wise, character-wise, especially since teaming up with Jensen and Brooks. So I feel like she's got some. Wow, did I screw it up again?
Yes, I did.
Briggs and Jensen,
same guy.
Briggs, you know what? In my defense, even WWE screws it up on Twitter. So whatever. Yep. It's a terrible naming. Terrible naming. But she's really come into her own, and she's really embraced that character recently. You could even tell tonight she just kind of had the swagger about her. She's certainly not the most polished in the ring. She's still got a little bit of work to go, but I like her, and I'm kind of keeping my eye on her. I don't know if she'll ever necessarily make it to like main event level or anything like that, but it could also be too early to tell. She really hasn't had many high profile spots yet. Sloane Jacobs, on the other hand, now granted, I think she's only 19, if memory serves. Okay. So she's obviously being very young. She's got a lot to learn and a long ways to go. I have no idea how long she's been training for or anything like that. But this, her part in this match tonight was definitely rough. The beginning of the match itself, I don't think was necessarily bad. But as the match kind of went on, she just kind of more mistimed spots and things like that. Weird footwork and stuff. She's definitely got a way to go. I don't want to dislike her or anything like that. I forget which one of us said it, but in our group chat, it actually might have been Tom that said it in our group chat earlier tonight, that just about every match that she has, she's almost getting like worse and worse and worse. So I don't know if it's like a nerves thing or what. I mean, I know at 19 years old, you know, when I was 19 years old, if you were to put me in front of a, you know, live national TV audience, I don't know if I could have done that. You know, I've got no problem getting up in front of like, you know, a couple thousand people or whatever and speak. I've done it. But to be like on national TV like that is certainly, you know, nerve wracking. So I don't know if it's something like, you know, nerves or what. But I definitely think Sloane Jacobs has a little bit of ways to go in developmental. I don't know if I would have necessarily put her on TV yet personally, but yeah, that's just me. But I want to like her. So like I said 1,000 times this podcast before, I don't want to see anybody fail. I want to see all these guys and girls like, you know, go out there, do the best they can, succeed and all of that, and entertain us in the process. So, fingers crossed, she'll continue to improve. And like I said, at 19 years old, she is, unless she's got some devastating injury that, you know, it takes her out, she'll have plenty of time to kind of grow into that. For the second one, which was Ariana Grace versus Nikita Lyons, this match was literally the least, the match I was looking forward to the least coming into tonight. You know, I knew this was going to be happening, obviously, with the bracket being released earlier in the week or whenever it was released. So I knew this was going to be happening. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the fascination with Nikita Lyons right now. I don't feel like she's that good in the ring to warrant the push that she's getting. I don't feel like her character, like she doesn't, she, even though her character is technically like her, right? Like kind of her dialed up to 11. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I still feel like she's trying to play a character. Yeah. I still get those Instagram model trying to be a pro wrestler vibes. And again, hate saying that. I'd like to see her succeed, but she's also incredibly annoying to me. Man,
if her, like, character is just her dialed to 11, I don't think I'd want to hang out with her dialed to 3.
Yeah, that's it. Like, she does not come across the type of person that I would want to hang out with or associate with. She just she seems just incredibly pretentious, and yeah, but so yeah, I don't understand this whole Nikita Lyons thing. You know, I spend more time on Reddit than I probably care to admit. Not just on Squared Circle, but you know, other subreddits as well. But any time, I've got a different username for that. But anytime Nikita Lyons gets brought up on Reddit or Twitter or something like that, I mean, you've just got all these thirsty stands that just, you know, and it's like, I guess in a way, you know, I guess looking at this objectively kind of in a business sense, right? You've got all that attention on one of these wrestlers because of the way that she looks. All right, I guess capitalize on it, you know, whatever. I guess no, bad press is still press, right? So, yeah. But in terms of, like, actually trying to build a wrestler, build a star, like, yeah, fine. In the NXT environment, she might be able to win over the crowd with, you know, a nice set of tits and ass, but she can't wrestle. You get her up to the main roster, you get her in an actual proper feud with like a Becky Lynch, for example, or Sasha Banks or something like that. She is going to flounder and flop and fail, at least in the current iteration of Nikita Lyons. I don't see what they see in her.
I know what they see in her.
Well, yeah, I guess I do too, I guess. But yeah, I don't think they're pushing her for the right reasons at all. I'd actually like to find out what she's like behind the scenes and backstage, because the way she comes off on TV, and you know, from the few like Instagram things that I have been sent, she just comes off as just insufferable, absolutely insufferable. Ariana Grace, have we seen her before, just under a different name?
Okay, no, only the brief hype segment.
Kiana James we've seen before as Kayla Inlay.
Kayla Inlay, yeah, that's right. That one I knew. I wasn't sure because like, there have just been so many name changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so many different faces showing up on NXT recently. But Ariana Grace, I was right there with you. I did not know she was coming into this match as a heel. I kind of thought it might be, you know, face versus face, or maybe Nikita Lyons is going to try and, you know, lean heel a little bit or something like that. I didn't realize she was playing a heel until she slapped Nikita Lyons in the face. So I definitely think she's got a little bit of work to do on, you know, her promos and her character work. Obviously, you know, if this is the first time we saw her, then you know what, I can excuse it just a little bit. I think she has a little bit of, she's got some potential because she does have some size. She was almost the same height as Nikita Lyons, if I'm remembering correctly. I think she's got a good look and things like that. She also, granted, it's hard to tell when you're going up against Nikita Lyons, but I don't feel like she was like overly terrible in the ring. You're probably what you would expect for somebody who has their first match on NXT. So I do see a little bit of potential there, at least from the 3 minutes and 9 seconds we saw her in the ring. But I would like to see a little bit more before I kind of make more of a definitive, like, statement on that. But yeah, that's kind of what I thought about the two breakout tournament matches.
Nate's super secret Reddit handle is, of course, Olsen Twins Fan 420.
Probably not Olsen Twins Fan 69.
Oh boy.
Yeah, the 420 fits more.
We're working blue tonight, folks. On the tournament, Bruce.
I'll try to be quick with these because I do want to get to Aldo Fire versus Amari Miller and the mixed tag match as well before we head out. Fallon Henley was basically the ring general tonight, and to her credit, she actually looked good, much better than I had seen her in her previous matches, even the tag matches with Jensen and Briggs. But Sloane Jacobs, just as you know, I said in the group chat, she does not belong on TV right now, and that's not just to denigrate her. Just her development right now is not at the stage where she should be on TV. You could see her thinking through and working through her spots in her head before she even attempted the things, which is why it looked so clunky in the beginning of the match. But Fallon Henley, I'll hand it to her. She's improved more than I had expected her to improve. And that is giving me hope that if it is her and Lyons in the final and not Lyons and Legend or Lyons and Perez, that she can actually have a decent match with Nikita Lyons. I feel like
Can't be.
They're in the semifinals. They're in the semifinals. Never mind. I thought they're on the same side of the bracket. Perez and Lyons and Legend are on the same side of the bracket. Well, Henley, I think, can be someone who she has enough size to get a legitimate offense in on her, but also I think she'll bump well for Nikita Lyons, much better than Ariana Grace today. Although with Grace, if they just go in with her judo and jiu-jitsu background as they tried to do with Tay Conti back in the day, I think that'd be better for her and her to stay away from this whole and beauty pageants course. Like that's just stupid because there was no indication of that beforehand. And you just threw it in there to throw it in there, which totally erased or at least diminished everything you had just said about competing in judo and jiu-jitsu tournaments. I'm not saying that beauty competitions are bad, right? Mandy Rose, also beauty and fitness competitions. But it's just a strong juxtaposition when you put that right with the judo and jiu-jitsu where beauty does not matter at all. So that's there. I think Henley, out of the four in the breakout tournament tonight, Fallon Henley definitely has the most upside to me. I've already said my things about Nikita Lyons that I've pretty much said every week. And her gear tonight, she tried changing it up and it looked worse to me. It almost looked like she had white tape over the parts that were supposed to be the unmentionables, and it just looks so bad.
I was going to mention her gear earlier. Like, they're in the back watching her stuff back, and the only thing they can think to say when there's so many things to work on is, decent gear, but I think we can make it even worse.
Yeah. It wasn't good. It was not. It looked like the creation suite in 2K from a little kid who's making it instead of someone who actually has an idea of how gear should be made.
Yeah. The guy who created the creator wrestler is just openly weeping. Like, I didn't mean it for it to be used like this.
So I think that's what all I have to say on these two matches for the breakout tournament tonight.
So I do want to just go back to Sloane Jacobs real quick. I went to cagematch.net. I was just curious to see, you know, how long she's been wrestling, you know, because obviously she's 19. She started in 2019. She's had a total with the exception of tonight. So I guess tonight would be her 63rd match as a professional wrestler. And most of them have been for small promotions. Most of these promotions I've never heard of before. She's only really had a handful of matches, couple on AEW Dark, actually three on AEW Dark. And then she's had four for WWE. So she's had, you know, two on NXT, including tonight, and then two on Level Up. So I think we're pretty much spot on. She's not necessarily TV ready yet. She needs to spend, if she's done all of her learning on the indies, she needs to spend some more time in the PC to learn the WWE way of doing things.
Exactly.
To learn how to play to the camera. Because what you said, Bruce, about her, you know, where she was thinking through all of her spots. Like, I'm probably half of that is thinking through the spots so she's facing hard cam.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she's definitely needs some more time in the PC, especially looking at her match history now. I think we hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned.
Your mid-show main event, Saray and Andre Chase. By the way, if you bid on 40,000-1 odds 2 months ago that we would see Saray and Andre Chase team up on this show, you've made money, my friend.
That wasn't what I thought you were going to say, but I'll go with it. I thought you were going to say if you'd bet $40,000 that Bodhi was the one that could speak Japanese.
Oh,
well,
man.
At least understand Japanese. He didn't speak it. He understood it.
Or understood it. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a bit of, like, doofy humor that I think worked because
it worked.
Bodhi's
it
good at it. It's, mm-hmm. it's yes. not mm-hmm. a half-bad line, and Bodhi is good at it. So,
and he came off, he said it so serious, like, of course yeah. I know Japanese. I'm Japanese 202 with Dr. Martin, of course.
We have a language department?
That's right.
that was great.
You gotta commit to it, Ariana Grace. You got to commit to it. Saray and Andre Chase defeat Tiffany Stratton and Grayson Waller in 10 minutes and 20 seconds of pure fan service from the opening moments where Saray's magic entrance also reverted Bodhi Hayward to a not even like he completely embraced the mm-hmm. the pigtail look and
the halter top.
Interacted with the yeah and the halter top and just goofed around with the fans a little bit and did not steal focus but was there to be to amuse if you took a second to do it. Saray beats Tiffany Stratton with a little bit of cheating, which don't ever love from the baby faces, but Tiffany did get her comeuppance, so that is fun to see. I don't know that I have, like, everybody worked hard. I continue to be so impressed by this version of Saray, who did mm-hmm. not look like she wanted to be there in the beginning of her time in this company, and now just seems utterly rejuvenated. She did the uh-huh. teachable moment line along with Andre Chase when they were about to do, I don't remember if they did topes or planchas, whatever
it was. It was to the break.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So they probably did a tope or a plancha. But at any rate, it was, yeah, right to the break. Yeah, and they beat Tiffany Stratton and Grayson Waller. Is Grayson maybe just losing a couple of matches and then moving up? It uh-huh. seems like there's stuff for him to do. But I do not think he will be there long. As I said last week, I think the call-ups will be faster and the firings will be faster. On your mixed tag, Bruce.
So for me, and this might be an unpopular opinion, but I really, really like the dynamic that both teams had with each other and against each other. I think Saray and Andre Chase plus Bodhi Hayward worked very well, and they played off each other very well. What do you think about Saray? She just seems to have more oomph, more passion in what she's doing in the ring and with her character since she's had this remaking with the Jewel. And I know when she first debuted, you know, I was a bit high. I think the three of you weren't as high because you were more concerned about how Pritchard and Vince have had these characters portrayed before, more stereotypical. But they've kind of gone away from that and just focused on Saray literally using the Jewel to transform into her confident in-ring self. And I think in her presentation since then, it's all done well. And she just has a snap on all of her drop kicks that you don't see on NXT that much anymore. And I really like that. And her Sun Ray drop kick, when she hit on Waller tonight, looked freaking devastating. And he sold it really well too. I think Waller and Stratton, and in that little vignette they had about them shopping, it was perfect because Waller was still holding all the bags, but still, you know, having fun. It's their character presentation just worked for me tonight. And I will note that Andre Chase came out in a baby blue Chase U sweater and not the red sweater that he usually has. So that was a nice touch because it looked nice. And I think Andre Chase and Chase U were originally supposed to be more of a heel act, but with how well they've been received, they're kind of moving towards more face. And I think this switch up into the baby blue and working against Waller and Stratton, who both had at least matching pink gear, is a nice way of signaling to the crowd, to everyone else, that, you know, this is a team that you're supposed to be cheering for. the whole cussing gimmick, that's really, I think it works because it's so funny. Andre Chase seems so serious about it, just like Bodie Hayward is so serious about how he embodies his character, and it comes off well, even though I've heard that outside the ring, Bodie Hayward is a bit of a...
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. but it comes off well.
That's disappointing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. When I first heard it, I was disappointed as well, but not surprising. I just feel like this was a... For a mid-match main or mid-card main event, this was fine. This was great. Like you said, it was complete fan service and it worked well. Now I wonder, because of how, so the ending, Hayward used the air horn during a pin that Stratton had on Saray, even though Saray had her foot on the rope. Stratton went outside or hit a crossbody on Hayward, I should say. And then when she went back in, she was rolled up and stacked by Saray for the victory. So I'm wondering now if Saray teams with Hayward next week or the week after to go against Waller and Stratton. And then maybe, and as you said, I think Waller's not long for NXT. I think Solo Sikoa, even after tonight's promo where he said he's got next, I don't think he's long for NXT. I think he's, if we want to, but I think he's definitely not long for NXT. He might be the first person to go.
And there's need now because he could fulfill the gap and create something interesting in the Bloodline storyline if they want to do that.
Yeah,
I think that he came off as the biggest star of the night.
I have to think about that one, but I think he can either go in and join the Bloodline, or he can come in and kind of do the Jey Uso against Roman Reigns in the beginning part, and then eventually join the Bloodline. So I think Solo Sikoa, when you talk about improvement, his improvement from feuding with Boa to now has just been remarkable. And I'm excited to see exactly how he meshes, because his demeanor, his presentation, like, it matches everything the Bloodline is doing right now, but it also could be in a way where he can be that foil for them. So yeah, he's definitely not long for NXT. Waller is not long. I wouldn't be surprised if Stratton isn't long for NXT either.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Go ahead, Nate.
So yeah, as far as this match goes, this mixed tag, so I'm generally not a huge fan of a mixed tag match. I wrote about that in the hits and misses tonight. With a mixed tag match where, you've got one gender tags out and then the other gender tags in, I feel like it breaks the flow of the match. It breaks the immersion, your immersion into the match. And it kind of just makes it feel like there's two different singles matches going on that wind up just taking a break right in the middle of the action, So generally I'm not a fan of mixed tag matches. If it was the mixed match challenge, I loved that because that was, that was kind of lighthearted. It was humorous. It was fun. That was
character.
Great. Yeah. A lot of character development, character work there, but for like a mixed tag, on NXT, Raw or SmackDown, just, a regular run of the mill week, generally not a fan. However, I did enjoy this match. I think, like you were just saying, Bruce, everybody played very well off of one another. I felt like Grayson Waller and Tiffany Stratton almost had pretentious boyfriend, girlfriend vibes, especially with, the matching attire. Chase and Bodie, they all worked very well together. That backstage promo that we kind of talked about a little bit ago, Saray comes in, she's talking in Japanese, Chase has no idea what she's talking about. They had subtitles. Why didn't he just read the subtitles? I'm sure there was a monitor there. But no, like, they worked great together. And that segment backstage, I thought, was one of the better backstage segments of the night.
Real quick.
Yeah.
They also, on the way to the ring, when Bodie was like, is she going to wrestle in that? And they're like, I don't know. And then they come out and the whole transformation happened. That was really done well, too.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, that is the first and only time that I've actually enjoyed the Saray transformation, I guess. I
adore it every time.
I know you guys do, and I know Tom did as well. I like, I don't want to say I hate it, because I don't hate it. I like the idea that, you know, she has this thing that gives her the confidence to go out there and, you know, and perform and be the best Saray she can be, right? Like, I'm down with that. What I'm not down with is the fact that she somehow transforms in the 3 seconds we see her from backstage to when she walks through the door, walks through the curtain.
Hey, you don't watch a lot of anime or play JRPGs, do you?
JRPGs, yes. Anime, no.
I mean, it's like Persona 5.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know, but this is, like, WWE for the most part.
I mean, if you're about to say this is real life, I'm going to be like.
Well, no, but for the most part, WWE tries to kind of put their product based in reality. Now, not always, obviously. Yeah, you know, we've got the Dead Man, we got Kane, right? You know, you've got, we got zombies, right? Zombies are now canon. So like, I get it. Like, it's not, you know, but just for me, it kind of takes me out of the moment when you see her just in, you know, dressed kind of like as a schoolgirl. And then the next thing, you know, like 3 seconds later, she's dressed as like a superhero, you know? That's mostly a nitpick. Like it's not for me. I can certainly understand why people like it, why they're drawn to it, why you guys are drawn to it. Totally get it. It's just not, it's not my favorite thing. But I will say, I do think this was a complete reinvigoration for Saray. You know, when, like Kelly said earlier, you know, when she first started in NXT, it almost seemed, well, you said that you didn't think it felt like she wanted to be there. I don't think it felt like she didn't want to be there. I think it was more she didn't know how to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, she spent so much time in Japan and other promotions and everything, and then she comes into, you know, I mean, she's been wrestling since she was 15 years old. So, you know, she has a lot of habits and things like that that she had to try and work out of getting into WWE, learning how to do WWE style, learning, you know, probably how to play to the hard cam and how they want them to play the hard cam and the other cameras and whatnot. I just feel like she was, what was that?
Probably learning some English along the way too.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it was just more of an uncomfort, like a comfort level. She was uncomfortable in the ring, and kind of in that particular, you know, iteration of Saray. But now I completely agree. You know, with this new character, I definitely dig her charisma and just like. I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but I think you know what I mean. She's just much, you know, much more invigorated than she was before. So I definitely will agree with that. I also agree that, you know, Grayson Waller, Tiffany Stratton, I don't think are going to be long for NXT. You know, we've heard rumblings. I want to say it was the Observer that was reporting it, that, we're probably going to start seeing some releases in NXT happening more frequently. And that I think is probably also going to be seeing some call-ups a little bit more frequently as well. If they're going to be kind of, you know, taking that roster, making a bit more of a revolving door. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, Solo Sikoa, Grayson Waller, Tiffany Stratton all get called up sooner rather than later, probably around, I'm going to say around SummerSlam, because they usually do it around some sort of a big, like, I guess a mass call up anyway. They usually do around a big show. But, you know, not again, not always, you know, look at Pete Dunne, for example. But yeah, I think I said everything I need to say about all that.
Shout out to my home skillet, Joel Pearl, who is from Fightful, who tweeted me a couple times about an hour ago. Said, how could you forget The Godfather's WrestleMania 2000 featuring Ice-T? Thankfully, one of you guys had my back there. And he also pointed out that the parking lot brawl was Adam Cole versus Velveteen Dream. I'm probably the same as you guys, where I cast my mind back and he's just not there. Because he's no longer there anymore. So thanks for those two tweets from Joel. The next one I get from Joel is going to be, please don't ever say shout out to my home skillet again, because then we will no longer be home skillets. The last match is Alba Fire versus Amari Miller. Alba Fire's rebirth or whatever into somebody who for some reason does a top rope senton, which is not a good move. It just doesn't look like it makes a lot of contact. She wins in 3:39 this is somebody who really needs and should have just a devastatingly mean, stiff-looking kick of some kind to finish people. Like, just something that utterly puts some poor girl, like, 6 feet under the mat. I don't know why she's finishing with a top rope senton. That said, she is awesome, and Amari Miller, I adore. I've been adoring her, and really, really happy to see her back. Did not know it would be so soon, but glad to see that it is this soon, and glad to see she is not wrestling tentatively. I thought she played her part well here. Around and away from the ring throughout the night, we had the Creeds and Roderick Strong trying to do some heavy lifting with some talking without Malcolm Bivens being there. Julius has made massive strides on the mic. Just massive. And I would say, as of tonight, surpassed Brutus, who had long since surpassed Roddy. But, you know, low bars and all that. Joe Gacy with some druids. We're going to be asked about who those druids are. I don't know that they know. I mean, they know who's under them right now. But when they are finally unmasked, if this ever happens, I don't think it will necessarily be the same people who are under them now. Ivy Nile challenge. She won it primarily because there was no acting competition as part of the Ivy Nile challenge. The Legado del Fantasma and the Wise Guys had some really, really crazy stuff going on, but we kind of covered that. Solo, he got next. Grimes, he got booed.
he did. And then, yeah, he did.
And then when they like somebody this much, they'll boo anyone. Nathan Fraser, poor guy's getting stuck with Zion Quinn. Wesley came out and I'm not going to say he undid everything, but Goofy Wesley isn't supposed to be. I didn't think we needed to see Goofy Wesley right away. Bummer. Von Wagner beat up Ikem and Jiro, and the Viking Raiders did some talking They did some.
That's all they do.
They did some brawn breaking on the microphone. So if you want to cover any of the backstage stuff, you can. You don't have to, because we're getting to that time and the match if you want to, but you don't have to because we're getting to that time. And we have two emails. Bruce.
So I just want to – Amari Miller really impressed me tonight. She's the time away. She really seemed to have locked in and improved, and she got more offense in on Alba Fire than I thought she would. And I do – want to put over Alba Fire's kind of new presentation in her gear. It looks really, it looks more sinister, like it should be for her, how her character has been presenting herself in the vignette. So that was good. I will note that Solo Sikoa seems to be a little flustered by the amount of crowd enthusiasm he received, because I think he repeated his lines a bit too much. And he said something about like, because I'm next or something like that. And just kind of didn't flow well, but you can see that factor that he has, that connection, that passion, that enthusiasm that is going to help him well once he does make it to Raw or SmackDown. The Viking Raiders, my thing with them since they debuted in NXT is even during their matches, they spend way too much time yelling at their opponents. The Joe Gacy thing. My big question is, what happened to all the other druids?
They tried to pass through the parking lot. And were killed, unfortunately.
And now they're swimming with the fishes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey.
All right. Nathaniel.
I don't know. I really don't have a whole heck of a lot to talk about here. Amari Miller and Alba Fire, I thought that was it was actually a much better match than I was expecting. Not that I wasn't expecting, like, Kaylee Ray to have a decent match, but or Amari Miller for that matter, but I think it came off a little bit better than I was expecting. Alba Fire, I can't stand all of these rebrands all of a sudden. Like, I guess I get it from a business perspective, like they want to be able to trademark these names and whatever, but it's really confusing to the audience, I think. But yeah, is what it is. However, I do like the repackage of Alba Fire. I wish maybe she went away for a few months or something, so we maybe had a little bit of time to, I don't want to say forget about Kaylee Ray, but I mean, you know, she was very well prominently featured on NXT TV. You know, she just won the Dusty Cup, and you know, then she made up her own rules and decided to interject herself in an NXT Women's Title match, and now she's a completely different gimmick with the whole new name and everything. So I do wish maybe they had her off TV for like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 months, something like that. You know, and then come back, you know, repackaged. I feel like it may have had a bit more of impact, you know, of an impact for her character. But that said, I agree with you, Bruce. I really like the repackage, the gear, the music, all of the fire on the video screens and all of that, the new hair, the hair dye job that she's got. I think it was like much brighter of a red than she had before. And I think it was like some dark, either black or something under, like, you know, the underneath layers there. I'm bald. I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to hair, guys. But I do think it looked a lot more sinister, like you said. And I think it's a very, overall, very good presentation so far. Even though, you know, the name, I mean, I guess the name Alba Fire has a little bit of meaning or whatever, but I still think it's kind of a dumb name. That said, I think it's probably one of the better repackages that they've done so far. It's certainly better than Katana Chance, that's for sure. So I got to give them credit at least a little bit there. Then the only other thing, I wanted to mention is more of just a question because I couldn't think of it and I'm just too stupid to Google it. War Raiders on the Indies it was War Machine and then it was War Raiders in NXT, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then for 1 week it was the Viking Experience.
Viking Experience, right.
For yeah. 1 week.
Yep. Okay. For some reason I could not remember what the hell they were called in NXT until just that moment when I said it. So anyway, that's all I had. We can go hit the mailbox.
Let's do that indeed. This is from Blake Riley. Guilty pleasures and turning your brain off. Oh, man, that statement. Oh, you're going to lose me. Hey, guys, I've come to the point with NXT that if you turn off your analyst brain, it's a really fun watch. Chase University has turned into a guilty pleasure of mine, and I totally popped at how Saray's magic affected Chase and Bodhi. Is that Andre Chase's first win? Our first win in a while? In a while, at least.
In a while.
I honestly don't remember him winning a match. He might have gotten a jobber match or two, but I'm not entirely sure that's true. Also, is the NXT parking lot the most dangerous place in wrestling right now? Kidnapping, gang wars, and possible murders. Like, did Escobar and D'Angelo pay off NXT security so they never got involved? Nope, killed them. Side note, Grayson Waller's theme goes up there as the most smarmy heel music this side of MJF. Oh, and when did they announce NXT in your house? Grimes brought it up, but it was not mentioned again. They did not mention it. Starting to think I need to be high watching this show. I don't know. Nate can tell you about that.
It certainly helps.
So I don't think you should feel guilty about liking Chase University. I think it is a lot of fun in its place. And Andre Chase's basement is like a Simon Dean. And I think his and I think his upside is like Santino. Like he could hang around for 10 or 12 years and be that goofball who maybe occasionally, just because people like him so damn much, gets to be in a couple of big spots.
I want to see R-Truth join Chase University. That just hit me. Ooh, I want to see it happen so bad.
Yeah, there could be a lot of funny things that happen there. Indeed. Yes, thanks from that's Blake from Milwaukee. Torch VIP from the Blake and Sal show with Mark. Tom and I have both been on Blake and Sal's show a number of times, and it is always fun. They get me on the horn for New Japan stuff usually, NXT stuff every now and then, and they talk to Tom for NXT and sometimes for main roster stuff.
Speaking of Japan, Houston.
Yes. And they have talked to both of us before for movie stuff. because Tom and I do like movies. So let me read this other. I don't think that's, unique to us. But we have seen a lot of them. This is from Kevin Catani. Salutations, gents. I hope this email finds you well. I thought tonight's episode was solid, and I love the work that is going into what could mean tag team championships for Wendy Chu and Roxanne Perez. If that is what we are indeed building to, who might they recruit to help even the numbers when that match happens? Also, I read a story earlier today that said the NXT parking lot is the most dangerous place in the U.S. right now. And wouldn't you know, we had another beating/abduction. While I'm over Joe Gacy, I'm intrigued by the identity of his druids. Any ideas on who they might be? Probably the Conquistadors. Thanks, as always. Go VIP and listen to 8YB. Yes! Do that thing. Office hours are now over. The professor, Kevin P. Catani, PhD.
It's not the Conquistadors, man. Undertaker's druids need something to do now that Taker retired. Come on.
That's true. They got a druid somewhere.
Right. Yeah,
they do. Okay. I don't know that I have further on those particular males. I'm not a turn my brain off guy. I can't do it.
Yep.
Wish I could, because I'm a wrestling fan. It would be real, real helpful. But but I have no off position on these emails, if anything else. Nathan.
So, yeah, with NXT, it's really hard to turn off my analyst brain because I'm kind of getting ready for the podcast or I'm writing the hits and misses. I think it was like 3 weeks ago that I actually kind of wanted to do that, and I wanted to switch off my analyst brain and just watch the show, and I did. And I actually didn't put out a hits and misses that week simply because I don't have a whole hell of a lot of time during the week anymore. So if I don't like write it as I'm watching it before this show, I like generally just don't get a chance to come back to it. I got to admit, I kind of did enjoy the show a little bit more without having to kind of, analyze it and while I'm writing and things like that. So I think there might be a little bit of credence to that, but, still I want my black and gold back. The thing about NXT in your house that Blake asked when they announced NXT in your house, as far as I'm aware and as far as that I can find online, that was the announcement for NXT in your house. But it doesn't seem like there was anything said about it before. I'm not seeing anything else online about it other than articles, from just the past couple hours. Just talking about Cameron Grimes bringing it up. So I think that was the first time that it actually did get brought up. With Kevin's email, for the most part, I think we kind of touched on a lot of that stuff. With Joe Gacy, I wouldn't say I'm over Joe Gacy. I'm actually – I don't want to say I necessarily like – I'm like liking the gimmick. He did impress tonight. He absolutely did impress tonight. I don't necessarily like his in-ring style. I feel like he could maybe be a bit better, but I like the character. I do like the character, and I'm kind of curious to see how far, how dark this character winds up going. I mean, he's getting very dark. And I kind of saw that coming. I think we all probably saw that coming just from the get-go with this particular iteration of Joe Gacy. He kind of seemed like this was the direction it was going to go. I don't want to say upsetting or whatever, but I did like him having Harland just hanging out in the background. I guess Harland wasn't progressing the way they wanted him to or whatever. So is what it is there, but would have been nice to maybe have like some sort of reason or excuse or something as to why Harlan's no longer, on TV. As far as I'm aware, I think he got released. I think they kind of could have done a little bit better of a job explaining that. But again, a lot of times when people get released, they don't wind up explaining it. Like Indy Hartwell, unless they brought it up last week,
they did.
Yeah. And I didn't think so. Her man just left her, which is really weird because man, they were like super in love like 3 weeks ago, so whatever. I think that's about all I got to say on the emails.
Bruce.
in regards to In Your House, one, I'm pretty sure the other In Your Houses have been around February, and two, Grimes didn't even mention a date or a time frame that it would happen in just that at In Your House. So right. It could be next week. It could be a month from now. It's not going to be a month from now, but you know. And then in regard to Gacy, I will say he impressed me because he didn't let the crowd chants affect him in his promo. And in his promo, I think we started to see more layers of his character, especially in his facial expressions, about with how he's trying to maintain this sort of positive image on his face. At the same time, you can see the rage building behind his eyes. And so I think in that regard, he's doing well. His character just does not allow for him to have the style that he had before he came to NXT, where he's able to show a little more. And so next week, by the way, we didn't mention that they showed Gacy and the Druids driving Breaker out to the wilderness, as he said, and with the burlap sack on his head and just dumping him on the ground and not even beating him up, and then just left. So, you know, that was kind of weird, and Breaker's supposed to be back next week to discuss it. But I will say Gacy's promo tonight, I think, was one of his better ones. And those two Druids, instead of having the 7 or 8 that were there the first time, I haven't looked at the PC classes, so I can't say. But it's not Damon Kemp, because, one, those two dudes were white, and Damon Kemp is now, I guess, a part of Diamond Mind. With all these new characters coming in, I still don't know which one is Stacks and which one is Dimes for Tony D'Angelo's crew. So, you know, they need to do a little better job of helping us differentiate who all these new people are, so that when we do move forward with our angles, we don't get confused. It was kind of going back to the day when they would chant, which one's Dash, which one's Dawson, for FTR. That's where I'm at with a lot of these characters, and I hope that they do a better job of helping us to differentiate and understand who they are.
Yeah, give me Dimes on Dimes's gear, and then give me a stack of Dimes on Stacks.
Maybe Stacks was the one counting the money today. I don't know.
Right, indeed. I don't know either. I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me on social media at Spooky Milk or at Spooky Milk Games, Bruce.
I'm Bruce Lee Hazelwood. You can find me on Twitter at B_Lee253. We'll be alternating our reports, so Kelly is next week. I'll also be off the show next week because I'm celebrating my birthday, as a reminder. So everyone, enjoy whatever happens next week, because I will not be watching.
Nate.
Well, an early happy birthday, Bruce. I'm sure I'll talk to you before then, but still, probably not verbally. So happy early birthday. I'm Nate Lindberg. You can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg, and I do the NXT hits and misses, which, again, I do have up on pwtorch.com for you guys to check out if you would like to do so. If you also would like, we on my other YouTube channel, DegeTime, DegeTime, where we take a look at role-playing games and their therapeutic uses. We have actually just started up after about a 4 or 5 month long hiatus. We're playing a game called Early Dark, which is kind of our crunchy rules heavy game. But we got that going. That just debuted this past weekend. So we got another 4 or 5, I think about 4 episodes of that before we move on to our next game. But if you'd like to do it, check it out.
All right, folks. And you know what? I'm just going to reveal it. The Druids, one of them is played by Dante Chen. The other one, Dante Chen. Cheers.
Guru Raj.
Shaka Khan.
All right. We went long.